For decades, six-time Grammy winners, the Chieftains, have been the foremost performers of traditional Irish music. Their latest CD, San Patricio, tells the story of a group of Irish soldiers who fought on the Mexican side during the Mexican-American War in 1846. The Chieftains will be performing at the Town Hall this coming Wednesday. That's the day after tomorrow. And I'm pleased that their founder and leader, Paddy Maloney, could join me now. Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. Delighted to be with you.
It's unusual to devote an album of popular music to a single story. How did you come up with the idea?
I tell you, about 30 years ago, Trinity College back in Dublin, there was a guy doing his master's on the Civil War, the American Civil War. And he came to me with a whole lot of songs and pieces of music, which I thought was great, and I was going to do a project on that. And then I stumbled on this.
Well, Irish involvement in the American Civil War.
Yeah, huge, because I fought on both sides, in fact, you know, it was quite sad. But I did actually do some of the music for the documentary that did happen about that. But the story of the San Patricio interested me much more, particularly the fact that this great Irishman, John Riley, the commander, who was, when he got off the boat, he was made take a gun and go down, start killing these Mexican Catholics, you know, under the command of Protestant generals, you know. So it didn't go down too well with him. And also the injustice that was going on about the, you know, the border where it actually was. And a typical situation back home, of course, that went on for hundreds of years, the neighbours who came to visit and forgot to go back.
So San Patricios were the group of Irish people who fought on the Mexican side, the St. Patrick's, obviously.
That's right.
In an odd way, although the Mexican War is considered one of the great embarrassments of American history, the San Patricios are the equivalents of the jihadists who joined insurgent groups in Iraq and Afghanistan, aren't they?
Well, that's one way of looking at it. But us Irish, fighting Irish as we are, I mean, we fought with against the Spanish Civil War that took place and many other places. I mean, if you go to Cuba, for instance, there's a General O'Reilly, and there's an O'Reilly Street there. Yeah,
wasn't there Bernardo O'Reilly?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I've been to that place and recorded some music there for Santiago, the album, and you can go to Argentina and various other places, and we turn up there as well. I mean, there's a lovely Gaelic poem that says "Hánig long o Valparaiso scuilach te de shol sahun," talking about a beautiful ship that came, you know, and that's going
to
back
Chile.
That's right.
That's because the ships used to go around the Cape of Good Hope, is it?
Yes,
or Cape Horn, I can't remember which one is in South America. And Valparaiso was the first city that they would then go into.
Correct, yeah.
Well, so where did you go? You said you went to Cuba, Mexico, I assume.
Yeah, and Mexico. I've been to most of the South American countries as well, just doing promotion for other albums and that, and lots of invitations to go and play, but you have to be very careful. But Mexico, I went a year ago, and with the idea of Chavea Vargas getting her to sing and a couple of the other great artists, but I was introduced to the likes of the folklorist and lots of other instruments I've never seen or heard of before. So instead of sort of zooming in a kind of a story about the San Patricio, which I was going to compose for symphony and different things like that, listening to this other great music from the various regions of Mexico. And that's what this album has. It's got 8 or 9 different regions represented.
What people don't realize is that Mexico, like the United States, has an incredible amount of diversity. And British miners and Irish miners came over. That's reflected in Mexican food. There's Dutch cheese.
Yes, yeah. And German.
The French, of course, ruled the country for a while, so that's breads and cakes are really great.
Great. And going back to the music side of it, like German, there was a great influence of European music in Mexican music, and that's what really prompted me to get on with this story and to tell a kind of a tone poem, you might say.
Well, you include both Irish and Mexican music here. How did you know that those two genres would go well together?
I listened to so much of it. I spent about 2 years actually making the album, but you can actually hear the mazurkas and you can hear polkas and you can hear, and this sort of sparked off in my mind, you know, if that's obviously Irish, it must have gone down there with the Irish, because a lot of them did, apart from those who got hanged for desertion from the American army. A lot of them sort of stayed on and married into the Mexican community. And one of the great things was the in 1997, the Mexican government and the Irish government released a postage stamp, the 150 years of the San Patricio, one in each country, of course.
And you've recorded this album everywhere. Yeah. Dublin, New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Mexico City.
Yeah.
Why? Just to get the vibes of the various places?
Vibes and the different styles of the music that would have existed around 1846 and to this day. And so there was artists everywhere, so I had to follow the artists, like the Los Tigre de Norte, for instance. I waited about 2 months before I could pin them down. They're the most popular group in Mexico, and they're a great bunch of people. And once they met me and we sat down to talk, we forgot about music. We started to talk about tradition, where it all started, my grandmother's, you know, and they had the same sort of way of doing their music and, you know, coming across with great songs and no electricity in the house. They had no... But in the evening time when the work was finished, they'd all gather and sing and play music.
Well, how much of this is traditional music? How much of it is composed by you?
I managed to get into amongst all the lovely, bright tunes that they have there... the story of the San Patricio, and that march you hear there is the March to Battle, which I composed, and Liam Neeson does a little bit of narration over it and tells a bit of the story, and then the lament, the lullaby for the dead, which I got Maya Brennan to sing. She's from the group Clannad, and that sort of tells the sad story of what happened after the battle. And then there's Sailing to Mexico, I wrote as well. Roy Cooder, the great Roy, of course, came on board towards the end. He came on board about, he co-produced with me the last couple of tracks. Mm-hmm. I did all the selection and mixing and mastering and all of that, but Roy wrote a terrific song, The Sands of Mexico. And he also introduced me to Los Anzoncles, who are brilliant, who have been on tour with us for the beginning of this tour. And Roy came.
You have Linda Ronstadt on this.
Linda's on it too, yeah. And she sings a beautiful lullaby she got from her grandfather about an orphan girl from that time period. It was just a great musical journey. And I came up with much more. I could have done 4 CDs, you know.
My guest is Paddy Maloney, who is the founder and leader of the Chieftains. Their most recent CD is called Los Patricios, San Patricio.
Yes, yeah.
I hadn't heard of them until now. Is their story well known in Ireland or in Mexico?
No, in Mexico they know about it. You know, it's not in any history books because there was a lot of shame, as you mentioned yourself, and embarrassment, especially the fact that they had... like even General Grant, when you think about it, he totally disagreed. He became president, but he totally disagreed with that particular battle, that it should never have happened. You know, it led to the Civil War, and eventually.
Now, you mentioned some of the people you've collaborated with on this album. There are a lot more: Lila Downs, yeah. Carlos Nunez, yeah. Los Folkloristas.
Yeah.
But over the years, you have also worked with some of the most famous people in music. Do you like that kind of collaboration, even though many of them, other than Elvis Costello, aren't Irish?
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of them live in Ireland, like Ronnie Wood, for instance. He lives just outside Dublin. And
comes out of Irish stock anyway.
That's right. And he comes to Warren. He stays with a friend of mine. So he sang the long Black Veil, of course, which was the best of our collaboration albums. And Van Morrison, of course, is as Irish as you could get. And Jimmy Galway and people like that we've recorded with. But it goes on. But it's been a, you know, we've made so many albums, like there's 48 albums in total now. And most of them, of course, are good traditional Irish music albums. And when we... been asked to, you know, guest on various people's albums, like Paul McCartney asked me in 72 would I do a couple of tracks with him and his brother Mick McGeer from The Scaffold, and so I went over and did. So that was the start, you might say, and then I decided to turn things around and sort of come back to these people and say, look, would you like to come and join me on the Long Black Veil album?
You brought with you your penny whistle.
Yes.
And you said that for a musician, the whistle is a great instrument to start with.
It's a fantastic instrument.
It's like the recorder?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's or the flute, or the wooden, the bone system. Not the bone system, but the regular wooden flute. And My mother bought me one of these when I was 6 years of age, and I taught myself how to play, and then I went on to the Ilion pipes as well. So they're my two major instruments. I mess around with everything else, but these are what I play in public.
The Ilion pipes, Ilion means elbow in Gaelic, doesn't it? Because you've got to use both elbows?
That's right. You pump with the right hand and you pump the wind into the bag on the left hand, you squeeze the bag and hopefully out she comes.
Weren't they once called the Union pipes? Was that changed because of political reasons?
Well, there's a lot of history about that, but originally it was always, as I say, the Ilion being the Gaelic for elbow pipes, like Cahir Ilion, for instance, an armchair, you know. So you have this bellows, and they came about in the 17th, 18th century, but it's much more flexible than the regular bagpipe, which has 9 notes. This has 2 full octaves and can be played chromatically even if necessary. Like, I do a lot of work with symphonies and it blends in beautifully.
And with the other bagpipes, you've got to play in one key and that's it.
Yeah, it's confined to, you know, one key, that's right.
You originally formed the Chieftains in 1962, which is a long time for an ensemble to stay together, although you did break up a couple of times, didn't you?
No, we didn't, no. I've always kept it going. I mean, there's been some have come and some have gone, you know, in the band.
But How many original members still with you?
I've got two of the original members, yeah. But, back home, there's Sean Potts still and Michael Tublady, and they were kind of, and Martin Fay, of course, and they were the original group that I had in when I was actually forming this band from the 50s, and like the late 50s I was starting to put it together, and until 62 then I found the right sound and the right people, and because they're all individual artists in their own right, you know.
And it's obviously hard to keep bands together. They all seem to break up because suddenly egos come to play, or in some cases people are unhappy with who somebody got married to.
Well, that can happen. But I've been, you know, that did happen actually. I had to plead with him. Listen, come on, you know, I brought him and his bride to be to lunch one day, and somebody insulted him or something, so I got hold of him. Listen here, Daddy, you know, this is not the beat. Don't let this happen, like the John Lennon situation and stuff like that. And it all sorted itself out, you know. But Matt says to me, I'm the mammy, and I keep the whole thing going, you know.
The other problem a lot of people have is the touring. They just can't take it after a while.
Very true, and you probably noticed this tour, like Sean Keane now, and he'd be 10 years younger than myself, but he just doesn't like going on long trips. You know, he'll come, he's on the album, of course, but he will only appear on certain weekends or go to Italy. He won't go to Japan with us or things like that. And he's just finding it a bit too much, you know, being away for like 5-week tours we're on at the moment.
I gather that this current weather problem caused you to miss your first concert ever.
Oh, God, I could not believe it, you know. And we were doing so well. We were in and out of snow, you know, St. Louis and Minneapolis and St. Paul, places like that. We avoided everything. We were doing superbly. And Sunday afternoon, there was meant to be a concert in New Brunswick. And unfortunately, the power went. So it's been rescheduled for another time. But it throws everything once the likes of that happens, you know.
A listener called and said that when she went to the Alamo, there was a name on a plaque of Capitan Juan O'Donohue, or obviously O'Donohue, who'd been sent from Spain, the last viceroy. Do you know anything about him?
I don't. Maybe I will. Now that you mention it, it could be my next project. Well, you know, the Churubusco down in Mexico was the Alamo for the Mexicans, and that was the last battle. There was 5 battles fought, and they held up there, and it's now a museum to the San Patricio. And all the names of the Irish who were killed, or some of those were hanged, and all, they're all listed. And the flags and the little cannon guns, and it's a wonderful place. And as a matter of fact, I went down there and I played the whistle. There's a little lament for those.
Could you play that for us? A little bit of it?
I will, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
You got an awful lot out of that little piece of wood, including glissandos. I was surprised. How do you get the slide up the notes?
Oh, you're slurring. Yeah, I mean, you just half bend them that way, you know. And, well, you get so used to an instrument after, what, 60, 70 years, or what, 65 years I've been playing this thing, that you forget about the mechanics of it and that you just concentrate on the music.
And it sounds, to some degree, it's a sister to a bagpipe, it seems to me. I could have heard that same thing come out of a bagpipe. And most people compose on the piano or guitar. Mm. What do you compose on?
Sick bags and aeroplanes. I wrote the Bonaparte's Retreat on my way to Australia one time.
Just write it off the top of your head onto sheet music?
I see the music and first, you know, and then I just, you know, whatever I can get my hands on, a piece of paper. And I usually, oftentimes, work in tonic solfa, the do re mi fa sol la ti do, which has been since my school days. And I've actually done a whole score and then got somebody else to write it out for me after that.
Well, we're going to go out with El Pájaro Cu from the album, the new album by Patty Maloney and the Chieftains, called San Patricio. And don't forget that the group will also be performing at Town Hall on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, and I suspect that the electricity will be fine there.
Oh, please God, yes.
Thank you so much
for
being with us.
Great to talk to you.
El favor de llevarle un papelito a la dueña de mi amor.
Dígame una.